We will be going to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 14, as we look together this morning at God's Word. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again we thank you for having sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We thank you that you accepted his payment, and that you raised him up from the dead. I would pray this morning that you would impact our hearts with the truth of the resurrection. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And he shall be called Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Servant, the Amen, the Living Word, the Rock, the Author and Finisher of our faith, Son of God and God the Son, Anchor, the Branch, the Faithful and True Witness, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, the Image of the Invisible God, Man of Sorrows, Living Water, the Bread of Life, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Resurrection and the Life. My friends, He lives. The resurrection is important to our lives today. Why is this true? I believe it's true for three reasons that we'd like to consider this morning. First of all, the resurrection is a confirmation of Bible prophecy. Jesus proclaimed himself to be God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I and the Father are one. John 10 and verse 30. He told the woman at the well that he was the Messiah. He claimed the power to forgive sins as he healed the man sick of the palsy. He claimed the Passover again as being celebration of his coming. He claimed the power over life and death. And he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. He claimed to be the light of the world in John 12, 8 and verse 12. He proclaimed himself the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25. And as we've already stated this morning, the way and the truth and the life. John 14, 6. He is the only way to God. He told the multitudes in Israel that if they did not believe him, they would die in their sins. Now, those are some pretty powerful claims. Wouldn't you agree? Every claim was substantiated by the resurrection of the Lord and Savior. The resurrection was God saying to the world again, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now, what does this mean to us this morning? It tells us that he is God, that he is to be worshiped, that worthy is the Lamb to receive all honor and glory and praise, that he is to be worshiped, that he is to be obeyed. Christ said, while he was here on earth, that the Scriptures spoke of him. The resurrection also verified many other Old Testament prophecies. In Genesis 3:15, he verified the fact that he would crush the serpent's head. In Deuteronomy 18:15, that he was the prophet like unto Moses. Isaiah 53, he was the suffering Messiah. Again, just to mention a few of the Old Testament prophecies. Would it not have been wonderful to have been on the Emmaus Road that resurrection afternoon and to have heard Jesus Christ, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, expound unto the Emmaus disciples? Again, as chapter 16, verse 12 references here in our text this morning. And to hear as the Lord Jesus expounded to the Emmaus disciples all the Scriptures concerning himself. I just listed a few this morning as we began. Jesus Christ, for the walk, listed every single Scripture in the Old Testament that it applied to him. Wouldn't have that been wonderful? I wonder if God has instant replay in heaven. I wonder if one day we'll be able to hear Jesus describing to those disciples every verse of Scripture concerning himself. What a blessing that must have been. The resurrection, my friends, confirms all history. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The death, burial, and resurrection was God's plan for this earth from eternity past. From before there was a world, God's plan was to slay his Son to bring mankind back to himself, because he knew that man would fall away in sin. And so the resurrection confirms, again, from eternity past, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. History before Christ was God preparing the world for Christ. History after his resurrection has been and continues to be God making his Son known to the world. Because remember, after his resurrection and before his ascension back up into glory, he gave the disciples a commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. A message that still is proclaimed today from this pulpit and pulpits all over the world, as we call men and women and children to Jesus Christ for their sins to be forgiven and so that they can have eternal life with God in heaven. History today is God calling the world unto his Son for salvation. Truly, history is his story, the story of Jesus Christ coming to die in our place and rise again so we could have remission of sins. The resurrection, secondly, this morning, is a comfort for us today. It's a comfort. It provides assurance that the penalty has indeed been paid for sin. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Bible says he came to give his life a ransom for many. The resurrection proves that the ransom was accepted by God the Father. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And when we repent of our sins and ask Christ to forgive us, we have the comfort of sins forgiven. The resurrection makes available, as we receive the Son into our lives, a personal relationship with Him. I like what Hebrews chapter 4 tells us in verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read that passage for you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says concerning Jesus, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have a risen Savior who bids us to come to His throne and to be able to have comfort and help during our times of need. Do you ever have times of need? Has there ever been a time when you just needed somebody to talk to? Jesus Christ is as close to you as a prayer. He bids us to come to Him before the throne of grace and bring our wants and petitions before Him. My friends, we can have a personal relationship with Jesus because He lives. Now, man is inherently lonely. Adam, when he counted all the animals, realized that he didn't have an Eve. So God made an Eve for companionship. And my friends, man needs today personal relationships. We can have consolation. We can have comfort today in knowing that we can go to a personal friend at any time of the day or night in Jesus Christ. He is available to help us in our time of need. When we're lonely, when we think no one cares, when our heart is aching, we can turn to Jesus. We are never truly alone if we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Christ offers us help with our burdens. In Matthew 11, He says that He will help us to lift our burdens, to carry them for us, so that we can go through the difficulties of this life. His resurrection makes available this personal relationship that all true believers can have with their wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the resurrection brings comfort, and it assures us that He has everything under control. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." God has given us that assurance. He is ahead of us, leading the way as a good shepherd. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Those are the words of Fanny Crosby, who found Jesus to be closer than a brother to her, and He desires to be closer than a brother to us. My friends, He lives. Nothing can come upon us unless He allows it to come. He is in control. He is in control, and He can help us through life's difficulties. But thirdly this morning, the resurrection gives confidence for the future. Do you ever wonder what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen when this life is over? I remember as a little boy, before I was ever saved, probably about 6, 7 years old, lying awake at night wondering what my skeleton would look like when it was in the grave. You ever thought about that? No, okay. So I was weird, I don't know. But I wondered about the future. I wondered what would happen. And maybe some of you have wondered about the future yourselves. The resurrection of Christ gives us confidence for the future. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul had that confidence. He said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." In other words, he knew whatever would befall him, he would be ushered into the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one day. He had that confidence. Again, man has always been obsessed with the future. I mentioned You know, my little thinking as a little boy, in the ancient land of Egypt, people wondered what was going to happen in the future. We had the butler and baker who went to Joseph with their dreams, what was going to happen in their lives. Sadly, one was killed, the other one was restored to his position of authority before Pharaoh of Egypt. And then Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret it and tell him what was going to happen in the future. The people of Babylon wondered about the future. And Randy, this was really something, but you know, the King Nebuchadnezzar would look into the liver, and they'd try to read the liver to find out what was going to happen in the future. How'd you like to do that? I guess the liver is a little redder today. That means it's going to be blue skies, or who knows, you know? But they would do things like that. Look into the liver and go to soothsayers and fortune tellers and to cults to try to find out what the future was going to be. Again, Nebuchadnezzar was wondering about the future when he had that great dream about the images. And Daniel was only able to come to him and tell him of the future of all the kingdoms of the world. And so God, again, has things planned out in the future. And God does know the future and has been able to tell people what will happen in the future. So we don't have to wonder. We can trust and we can follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do, all you have to do, is follow and know that He will guide us in the right way. Again, Christ Himself spoke of the future when He was ministering here on earth. His resurrection proved what He said was true. He promised to come again. Remember when He talked to His disciples? He says, I will come again, and I will receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 14, 1 through 3. Because He lives, we shall live also. Because He was resurrected, we will also one day be resurrected as well. And we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, 1 John chapter 3 tells us. And everyone who hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. As we look forward to entering into the presence of Christ, it should drive us to become pure and purer, even as Jesus is pure today. The future, my friends, is bright for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. However, unbelievers will one day have to answer to Christ. They may say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in Thy name? And He will say, depart from Me, I never knew you. To know Jesus is wonderful. To not know Jesus is to depart from Him and spend eternity in hell. So the question today is this. Do you know the risen Christ today? Christ spoke a lot about hell. Now, it doesn't make me feel excited or happy to tell people that there is a literal hell that people who reject Jesus will one day have to go to, but it's true. And it's good to tell people so that they can be awakened to their need and receive Jesus as their sin bearer so they don't have to go to this place of suffering. Christ spoke a lot more about hell than He did about heaven. Hell is real. Hell is hot. And I'm here today to say, don't go there. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior so He can take you to the place of bliss when you've asked Him to forgive your sins and to follow Him in this life. Christ died and was resurrected so that we don't have to go to this place of suffering. Ask Christ, if you've never done so before, to forgive your sins and come into your life. Then you will have confidence in the future, as every born-again child of God can have. You can have confidence to be resurrected, to one day be with Christ in heaven, to know that whatever befalls us, Jesus does indeed do all things well. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And for the believer, the future is indeed bright. And may we allow Jesus Christ to light up our future as we follow Him. My friends, the resurrection of Christ is important. It confirms to us the past and the fulfilled prophecies. It gives us comfort in this present life. And it gives us confidence in the future that we will one day be with Him. If the resurrection is not important in your life today, Would you allow the resurrected Savior to come into your life and give you a new outlook on the resurrection so that He can live in your heart? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the comfort and the support that the resurrection gives to us. And I thank You, Lord, for Your Son. I pray, Lord, if there are some here that have never received You, that even ask You to forgive their sin, they would repent of it and invite You into their lives. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.